Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? Well, Jeff's voice is hoarse for no good reason. I really want to come up and knock you in some kind of way, but I got nothing. So, hopefully you got a little tag on your hand on the way and a little ink mark on your hand. And this is for free rides all day long and access to the bathrooms, those kinds of things. But seriously, this is for this new series we're doing starting today for the next 3 weeks. And if you didn't get your hand marked today, no worries. We'll be doing it again next week. But this is hopefully when you go to lunch afterwards, you go to Moe's, maybe some kind of conversation gets started up as someone's like, what's on your hand? You're like, I went to a club. No, this is from church today. And hopefully you can have a conversation then about what God is teaching you or what God is saying through this series. And maybe there'll be a conversation within our community that gets started as something as simple as an ink marker on your hand. So that's the purpose of this. And we're starting this new series, Make Your Mark. And I believe that this series is potentially a game changer for us in this church. So I think the content and the things we're going to discuss here are so crucial and so key to us as a church and us as individuals. I think this could be a game changer, a very, very big deal for the next 3 weeks. So if you're here this morning, I want to encourage you to come for the next 2 weeks. And I want to encourage you to bring people with you, because I think this series is going to be a major, major series for us. The people that you saw in this video just a second ago are famous people throughout history who have made marks on the world. Some of them for very, very good reasons, and some of them for very, very bad reasons. Some of the people that you saw are famous for fighting injustice around the world. And some people are famous for inventing life-saving strategies or having the ability to lead great groups of people. And if we were to mention in this room individually, you could probably name three different famous people who have made a mark on the world in some kind of way. So give me three examples. Who's somebody that's made a mark on the world? Gandhi? Billy Graham? Abe Lincoln? Anybody? What?
Malcolm X.
Anybody? Give me one more.
Nelson Mandela.
Mother Teresa. Yeah, so everybody we just mentioned, these people have won like Nobel Peace Prizes. These people have like keys to cities around the world. I mean, these people are big deals, and they've made their mark on the world and made a huge, huge difference. But someone that we did not mention in the names that we just mentioned or we saw in the video is someone very important, and that is you. And I really mean that. You. Me. I believe that every one of us in this room, sitting in these pews, in the choir loft, we have the unbelievable capability and capacity to be game changers and world changers and mark makers, just like every person that we had mentioned here. And I think this is what this series has everything to do with over the next 3 weeks. Every single one of us, we have the capacity and the ability to make a difference in people's lives. You may know me as Trevor Miller. I was the intern who got a job here, and by the grace of God, got a full-time job here. I'm the lesser of two halves, me and Jenna. I have two sons, both of which are cooler than me. I mean, I know very clearly I'm not that cool, but I believe one thing. I believe that I am a world changer. I believe that I am a mark maker. I believe that I am a game changer. In order to kind of see this on display, you'd have to meet a student who's a sixth grader now, who was a fifth grader last year, who was a part of our after-school program here at the church. Last year, I decided to volunteer my time and my energy to come and serve on Thursday afternoons with the after-school program here at the church. And so Janice and Vicky were so kind by giving me a fifth-grade boy who had more energy than I've expended in 31 years of my life. And this kid has a personality that makes me look like a bore. I mean, this kid was an amazing, amazing kid. So much energy, so much personality. And they said, this is your kid. This is the one you're going to spend time with. I was like, thank you. So every Thursday, we would come together and spend time together. We would eat snack together. I can do that. I would help him with homework. We would play games together. And hopefully, I was influencing him towards Jesus Christ every single day that we got together. Now, something incredible happened, because what ended up happening was, one, I found myself really liking this kid. Like, looking forward to Thursdays to hang out and have a discussion and spend time together. And something even more amazing happened is I became a hero. Like, this kid all of a sudden, like, really looked forward to Thursdays after school to come to Mount Horeb and spend time with me. And he loved eating snack together, doing homework together, hanging out together. And he even loved talking about Jesus each time. So I loved spending time with him. And little did I know, I became somebody that was very important in his life. And within the weeks that we spent time together, this fifth grade boy ended up receiving Jesus Christ as his Savior. It's huge. Huge. And the reason this took place was because I was willing to give my time, my energy. And by God's help, praise the Lord, this student's life was impacted forever. I became a mark maker on this one fifth grade boy's life. And for some in the pews, you may say, well, an after-school program, that's not really that big of a deal. I mean, it's not certainly not Einstein, not Martin Luther King Jr., not Mother Teresa. But to this one boy, it made a world of a difference. It meant everything. And so though you just know me as Trevor Miller, but to him, I was much more important than just Trevor Miller. I invested in his life. I made my mark on him. And if I look back in my life, over the years of my life, when I was a very young student growing up, there were two people who made marks on my life that changed my life forever. One was my pastor, John Walls. I grew up in a small Methodist church, and that guy led me to Jesus Christ. He showed me what it looked like to love God. He's the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing today. And my youth pastor in high school named Karen McGarry, she gave me the opportunity to lead worship as a high school student, the worst worship leader ever. I remember the first time I ever preached, I was a senior in high school, and I had a 4.5-minute sermon, and it was awful. But those two things, that experience, the very reasons that I'm doing what I'm doing today, those two people made a mark on my life. Those two people. I made a mark on this one fifth grade boy's life, and you can make a mark on the world as well. I believe that with all of my heart. And so this series is all about us discovering and recognizing and realizing the unique God-given potential that every single one of us have to make a difference in the world, to make a mark on the world, to be a game changer. And so the question becomes, first and foremost, how do we make a mark? How do we make a mark on the world, really? I think where we have to start is we have to take inventory of what God has given us. What has God blessed us with? How has he made us? What is at our fingertips? I got a gift from my wife last Christmas. One of the coolest gifts I've gotten. It was a big Craftsman toolbox, like roll-around type, you know, for my disaster of a shed. And so I had tools everywhere. And so I got it for Christmas, and I'm ashamed to tell you, it took me 7 months to actually put it together. So I got the box one day. I'm like, hey, honey, I'm putting it together. She's like, finally. So I put it all together. I took it out to my shed, and I started going through all the tools in my shed and starting to put them in the correct place within my new toolbox. And it was amazing what you find when you start going through piles of junk. So all of a sudden, I found out I had a stud finder. That would have been helpful months ago after many holes put in my wall. I found out I had a long Phillips head screwdriver. Also would have been helpful. A big pry bar would have really been able to use that months ago as well. And the only reason I found these things is I finally took inventory of what I had. Going through all the piles and all the things and, wow, I have this, I have this, I have this. And so what we have to do, first and foremost, before we can make our mark on the world, we have to know what we're working with. So what do you have? What is available to you? How has God equipped you? And there are probably some in this room that would say, I've got nothing. God's given me nothing. I have nothing to offer the world. And at the risk of sounding very rude, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Every single one of us have things that God has gifted us with, that he has given us, not for our pleasure alone, but for the benefit of the world, to make a difference in the world. So maybe it's your personality. Maybe you have like this kind of personality that makes people feel really special when they're around you. You can inspire people. Maybe you have an expertise of some kind. Maybe it's like in something very strange, but it's still an expertise. If you were to give that to people, what kind of blessing would that be? Maybe it's your resources. Maybe you have financial means, whether it's very small or very large, to bless people with, that you can be generous with. Maybe you have stuff that God has blessed you with that you could share with others, be a blessing to them. Every single one of us in the room, I believe, God has gifted us uniquely with certain things, abilities, and stuff in order for us to make a difference in the world, to be a mark maker. People who change the world are people who spend their time, their resources, their finances, and their talents wisely. And they invest them for God's kingdom. I believe that the Bible gives us instruction that goes far beyond even what we've discussed so far to help us have a guidance for our life in making a difference in the world. It comes from Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. We read it a second ago, and it says this: teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. I don't know about you, but this is one of those verses when I read this, we could be like, okay, everyone go home, have a great day. I mean, this verse says it all, doesn't it? Teach us to number our days that we might have a heart of wisdom. The truth is, life is short. It's painfully short. The Bible says elsewhere that it's a vapor. It's here, and then it's gone. And the truth is, if we recognize that life is this short, if we number our days and we recognize there's a finite time that we have, if we see this, then we cannot waste a moment. We cannot waste one single moment that God has given us because it's short. But unfortunately, this is the very thing that I see people do all of the time, including myself for much of my life. I let the moments pass by. I just waste them with nothing. And the truth is, I believe that God wants us to use every single opportunity he's given us to make a difference in the world. If you want to be a world changer, if you want to be a mark maker, you have to recognize and number the days that God has given you. What if you knew that today was all you had? We're not promised tomorrow. What if this was it? Would this change the way that you live? If you recognize that maybe today was all you had, would it change the decisions that you make? Would it change the way you spend your time? Would it change the way that you spend your money? Because I believe what it would do for us is it would begin to help us do all of these things in a much more wise kind of manner when we number our days. What if we were to number our days? Would it give direction to our ways? Would all of the things that we do and the decisions that we make and the way that we live our life, would it be dictated differently based upon us understanding that we have a finite time that God has given us? And we cannot waste even a second. The people who I know who have made a difference, they don't stumble into it. You don't stumble into making a difference. It happens with intention. It happens on purpose. The people I know who have made a difference, they know exactly who they want to be. They know what they want to do. They know who they want to become. And so for them, every single decision that they make throughout their life is either taking them closer to hitting the mark or it's taking them further away from the intention that God has for them and they have for themselves. And this leads us to a very, very important question. What is the trajectory of your life? What is the trajectory of your life? Now, Ryan Huff is going to help me with something. I've given him a bullseye. Where are you, Ryan? So Ryan has a big bullseye, okay? I have a foam dart. Yes, I'm about to shoot a foam dart in the sanctuary. But for good reason. I want to show you what trajectory looks like, okay? So trajectory has everything to do with the angle at which someone releases something or throws something or shoots something. It has everything to do with the speed at which it comes off. And has everything to do with the gravity that's pulling it down from where it's trying to get to. The goal that it's trying to get to. So Ryan, if you would just kind of come up here, just stand right there. I'll back away a little bit so it's not too easy. Saturday night, I had three of these darts, and I missed every single one. 8 o'clock, hit it on the second try. Last service, second try. So today, I'm going to try to hit it first try. Okay, so if I hit this, I need everybody to go crazy. Okay? Because it's a big deal. All right, Ryan. And anyone who gets hit behind, I apologize. Jeff@MountHorribUMC.com. You can email any complaints. Here we go. Listen. First try, what can I say? Ryan, that's all. Have a seat. Good job. Give me a hand. I wasn't that good the other services. But practice makes perfect. So what we've seen demonstrated here is trajectory. The ability for me to hit that bullseye had everything to do with the angle at which I was releasing. Had everything to do with me actually doing something, letting it go. Had everything to do with gravity and the things that try to get in the way of us hitting the mark that we have set for us. Now, this principle that we've just seen here is true in our life as well. Not just foam darts and bullseyes. It has everything to do with our life. So I want you to think for a second. What is the trajectory of your life? If you were to extend your life out from right now, based on the decisions you're making right now and the way you're living your life right now, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, do you hit your mark? Do you become the kind of person that you want to be? Do you hit the mark that you have maybe placed for yourself, the end goal for yourself? And better question yet, do you hit the mark that God has for you? Because if you don't, it may have a lot to do with your trajectory, your release point, what you're aiming at. You see, our destination is determined by our direction, not our intention. There are a lot of very good intentioned people that never really make it to the goal they have for themselves because they don't make the decisions day in and day out to make that possible. So I hear people all the time say to me, students and adults, man, I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good dad. That's a great goal. I have the same goal. But guess what? It doesn't happen sometime in the future. It happens when? Right now. If you want to be a good dad, a good husband, it makes decisions right now in order to, for you to get there. If you want to love your wife well, start it today, not tomorrow. If you want to be a good dad to your kids, start it today, not tomorrow. I hear people say too, I'm going to be generous one day. Like one day when I win the lottery and I have all of this money, I'm just going to give it to people. Trevor Miller in particular, I'm just going to be super generous. And the truth is this, without starting now being generous, you're never really going to be generous in the future because it's about trajectory. It's about where you're launching from or where you're starting from. The Bible says if you're going to be faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the big things. So if you want to be generous, start it today. Start it today. I hear people say all the time, I want to serve in the church soon. When my kids get older, when my house is finally remodeled, my husband finally gets it done. I mean, you know, when whatever it is, as soon as this thing gets over with, then I'll serve in the church. And the problem is there's always something else. And so again, it has everything to do with trajectory. If I want to be someone who serves well, I start it when? Today, right now. I hear high school students all the time, I want to go to college. Well, guess what? It has everything to do with your grades. And your grades right now are not going to help you hit the mark. You have to start it when? Way earlier than you started it now. I hear people say, I want to have a good relationship with God. I want to have a good relationship. Guess when that starts? Right now. Not sometime in the future. I want to stop doing this or start doing this. It happens right now, not sometime in the future. Because our life has a trajectory to it that allows us to hit the mark that we have set for ourselves. So if you want to be a good husband, you want to be generous, you want to go to college, you want to know God, you want to start something or stop something, it starts right now, not sometime in the future. Maybe for some of us in the room, we need a change of trajectory to be able to make that mark. We need a change in order for us to get there. There's this word that's associated with change all throughout the New Testament that's extremely important. It has everything to do with our Christian faith. And it's the Greek word metanoia, which is the word repent. Repent. And this word is so interesting because it's made up of two different words, but literally these two words mean to think differently after. It means to change one's mind, to change direction. Here's what we've been taught in the Western world to think what repentance means. If I repent, then I'm just very sorry about something that I've done. If I repent, then I'm really sorry I got caught, or you name it. But repentance is not about feeling sorry or feeling bad. Repentance is about a change of direction. Repentance is about changing our minds about something based upon something that's taken place. And the Bible's very clear that as people who meet Jesus Christ and recognize what he has done for us in sacrificing his body and his blood in order that we might be forgiven, then repentance is a natural response to that. God, you've done this for me, then I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to change my direction. I'm going to change my trajectory based upon my encounter with you. Repentance is so important. And how repentance happens is even more important. Romans chapter 2 verse 4 says this. Here's where repentance really hits the ground running. It says this, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness? Talking about God. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness? Forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. God is so patient with us. God is so kind to us. There is no reason that God should have given me as many chances as he has given me. It should have been over a long, long time ago. But God is patient and he is kind, not so that we would take advantage of it, not so that we can continue to live selfish lives and not worry about the world around us. But he's kind and patient towards us. Why? Because it's what leads us to repentance. When I was very young, I was convinced in my mind I wanted to be a godly man. My dad is a godly man. I had men in my life who were godly men. And from a very young age, I wanted to be like those guys. when I was in high school, I met like the first Christian college guy I'd ever met in my life. And he was bearded and like a mountain guy and rock climbed and stuff. He was so cool. I was like, I want to be like that dude. Thus the beard. And it's like my thinking process. The problem was I wanted to be like that. And that was my intention. But my life decisions, the things that I did, were never going to get me there. It was not going to allow me to hit the mark that I wanted for myself. And so all throughout my life, instead of really dealing with anything, instead of really repenting from sin and in the ways I had missed the mark, I brushed it under the rug. I just pretend like it wasn't really an issue. I kept it hidden from everybody around me. And so instead of really growing and getting closer to the mark God had for me, I got further and further away. And it wasn't until college for me that finally I realized, man, if I really want to become a godly man, I've got to deal with this stuff. I've got to do something. I have to change my mind, change my direction, change my trajectory. And so for the first time, really, I got down on my knees and I repented. God, I don't just feel sorry about this stuff anymore, but I want to change the way that I live my life. I want to change my mind. I want to agree with you. Here's what repentance says within our lives. No amount of defeat in your past ensures defeat in your future. No amount of defeat in your past ensures defeat in the future. So maybe you're on the kind of like other half of your life and you're looking back and you see nothing but failure. Like, I was not the dad I wanted to be, not the husband. I didn't manage my money the way that I wanted to. You could go on and on and on with all these failures and things that you see that went wrong. But what repentance says is no amount of defeat in your past ensures that there's going to be defeat in your future. It could all change through repentance. It could all change and be different. Now, the opposite side of the coin is true as well. Just as there's no amount of defeat in your past, there's no amount of victory in your past that ensures victory in your future. So maybe today you're right on track. I mean, things are going great. You've been awake for 5 hours. It's going awesome. Haven't had time to do anything wrong yet. And you're hitting your mark. The problem is, because you've done well today does not mean that you'll do well tomorrow. So repentance is a constant maintenance of our relationship to God. Every single morning we get up and we say, you know what, God? I repent again today. I want to change my mind. I want to be on board with you, God. I want to be going in the right direction to hit the mark that you have for me. Because if we hit the mark God has for us, guess what? We've got a really good chance to make a mark on this world and make a difference in this world and be a game changer and a catalyst for change. But it has everything to do with repentance. That's where it starts. I'm convinced that repentance is the only true change of trajectory. There's no amount of willpower that you can muster up to change your life. No self-help books. Oprah can't help with this. What changes our life truly is repentance. Going before God and say, God, I know that I've done wrong and I want to change. I'm not just sorry, but I'm ready to do different. Help me. That's when life changes. That's when things change. There's an incredible story in Luke chapter 16 that Jesus tells. And in this story, there are two people, an unnamed rich man and then a poor man named Lazarus. And in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31, Jesus tells this story. He says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died, and he was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm that has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. This man answers, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let them warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will what? Repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Now, the reason this story is so interesting to me is you had this man, this rich man, who had every opportunity to make a difference in the world. Of the people in the story, he was the most blessed. And he stepped over this beggar every single day. And clearly, as he comes to the place of torment that he's in, total separation from God, he recognizes that his life choices, the way he responded to God, the way he responded to people, was the very thing that caused him to end up where he ended up. So here's what he does. He says to Abraham, Abraham, just send Lazarus to my five brothers, because if he goes and talks to them, maybe they will what? Repent. They'll change their mind. They'll change their way. They'll change their trajectory. He did not want his brothers to end up where he ended up, because he realized that decisions in our life, they cause us to come to certain places within our life. But the way Abraham responds, he says, listen, even if someone were to rise from the dead and go back to them, they still would not believe, which is an interesting thing to say from Jesus. I'm sure as Jesus is telling this story, he knows not long from now he was going to go to the cross, going to be crucified, was going to be killed, placed in a tomb, and 3 days later he was going to rise from the dead. I'm sure he has to be thinking about this as he tells this story. Because Jesus knows there's no human being who could die and rise from the dead and change anyone's life. But he knows that he, the Son of God, if he were to give up his life and pay for the things that we could never pay for, then he would give us the opportunity for new life. He'd give us the opportunity to repent. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has changed everything. It has changed everything. And so this morning, I believe that God wants us to make a mark on the world. I believe he wants you to use your time, your energy, your resources, your talent, your personality, everything that he's equipped you with to make a difference. Not to just float through life, but to number your days so it would give guidance to your ways. I believe that's what God wants for us. But the only way we can even do this is through repentance. And so this morning, we get the opportunity to take communion with one another, representing Jesus' broken body, his shed blood, the very thing that enables us to have a relationship with him once again. And before we take communion, we're gonna say a prayer of confession. And maybe you've said this prayer a million times in your life. My prayer this morning is that it would be fresh for you. That as we come to God, as we pray a prayer of confession, we truly repent. We don't just feel bad, we change our ways. And in doing so, we change the trajectory of our life. I have good news and bad news. Within our church, there are 50% of our church who give regularly, who serve regularly, who are here regularly, who are part of what God is doing. But the bad news is there's 50% of our church who does not. And I believe that God wants us as a church to be a game changer, a world changer, a mark maker. But as we go, our church goes. So perhaps this morning, us individually, we need to come before God and repent and change the trajectory of our lives. So as we begin to really love people, so does our church. As we become great husbands and fathers and wives and children, so does our whole church. As we begin to take care of people within the four walls of this place, so does our church within the community. It changes everything because of Jesus' sacrifice, his opportunity for repentance. And so this morning, if you want to repent and change your life, as you take this broken body, this shed blood that represents Jesus' life and his death, I want you to come to this altar and just kneel down before God and say, God, I'm sorry. And I'm not just sorry, but I want you to help me change my life and have a new direction for my life. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, God, that when we were lost in sin, you could have left us there, hopeless and helpless. But we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, who paid for the things that we could never pay for, who did the things that we could never do in order that we might change our lives. Thank you for the opportunity to repent, God. And Lord, I pray that today that us as a church, us individually, God, as we come and confess before you, Father, that you might transform our lives, that we might make a difference on this world, that we might make our mark. It's in your name we pray. Amen.